That aside, do you realize it's been 7 months in our seventh month since you made your New Year's resolutions? Oh yeah, I forgot about those. Yeah. Well, that's kind of the way it goes, isn't it? We kind of make some promises or resolutions or some things that we're going to do, and then we kind of forget about them. Let me remind you of some that you probably may have thought about. Probably you didn't make all these, but you may have thought about. I'm going to journal this year. That's what I'm going to do. Here's another one. I'm going to stop buying things I don't need. How you doing with that one? I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to not take my health for granted. I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to budget better. I'm going to save money. I'm going to stop gossiping. That'd be a good one. I'm going to pay my bills on time. I'm going to eat healthier. I'm going to stop going to the dentist if possible. I'm going to read more books. I'm going to do random acts of kindness. That's a great one. These are some that just a lot of people seem to make. I'm going to keep my home tidy. I'm even going to clean the floorboards in my car one day. I'm going to quit bad habits. I know you don't have any of these: smoking, drinking, TV, internet. Going to exercise my brain more, do more thought-provoking things rather than couch potato things. Going to stay in touch with my family more. I'm going to become a plant owner. I'm going to grow something. I'm going to take to the stairs, not to the stars, 10 minutes a day, up and down. On a more serious note, I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to the chapel meetings more. I'm going to read my Bible through this year. How you doing with that one? I'm going to volunteer more work for the Lord. I heard the announcements about camp. Great place. Heard the announcements about an opening for the Sunday night gathering, hymn sing, fellowship time. That'd be another one. More service to the Lord. We might say, if we look around, everything is busy, like it's really busy. And not only is everything really busy, everything's changing. Well, I'm wondering if that's true. Is everything really changing? Has things changed that much? Matthew records the Lord Jesus when he said this, as it was in the days of Noah, so also shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Oh, days of Noah, that's a long time ago. Days of the coming of the Son of Man, present. Maybe sooner than we think. As it was, so shall it be. You know what I think? We just got more TV, more internet, more cell phones, more. We get the news. I mean, somebody sneezes in Jerusalem and it's on the news within 30 seconds. We know more. Well, how come we're not doing better? The Proverbs writer said it like this: where there is no vision, the people perish. I know the word vision means revelation. I know that. Where there is no direction, where there is no revelation, where there is no sense of the presence of God and following Him, people perish. So in 1970, when the Lord saved me, it was not uncommon for you to be driving along and see a billboard. You know what's on that billboard? Christ is the answer. Not uncommon to be driving along and there's a sign in front of a church, Christ is the answer. Well, it wasn't uncommon to see a bumper sticker, Christ is the answer. It wasn't uncommon in those days. Maybe I could ask you, when's the last time you saw any public announcement that just anyone and everyone could see or read? It said, Christ is the answer. I don't know. It's kind of like that was a fad. Kind of like people don't, excuse the general terms, people don't go to church like they used to. What's wrong? Well, where there's no vision, people perish. Where there's no revelation, you say, wait a minute, we got a Bible. We do. We have access to every imaginable, I didn't even know what the word app meant only a few years ago. You can get an app for everything. You can certainly get one for the Bible. We have God's mind at our fingertips. We have a revelation. We have the vision. We have direction. How come we got all these problems? Is we're not making it real, not making it personal, we're not taking advantage of the resources that we have, we're maybe not making it a priority in our life. That wouldn't be your case, would it? Well, let me give you a portion of a message this morning. It'd be impossible to do the whole thing. But let me give you a portion of a message this morning, because Jesus Christ stepped out of heaven to come to earth to show us what God is like. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, he said to his own. He's the icon, the very image of God. You want to know what God is like? Read the Gospels. Every move, every answer, every expression, everything that he did reflected in perfect harmony what God is like. Now, we know the Lord Jesus was prophesied to come. We know that. And when he came, he would come to be Messiah, King of Israel. And I want to pick up with that thought in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. So take your Bibles, please. Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. I'm going to read in verse 16. Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 16. Now, context, at least in Luke's gospel, he's just gone through the temptations in the wilderness. He's been directed by the Spirit of God and returned to Galilee, northern Israel as we know it. He's making his public debut. He's gaining a following. He's the talk of the town, if we could put it that way. Look at verse 16. So he, Jesus, came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. It's also where he said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own Nazareth or country. And as was his custom, in other words, this was routine, he did this often, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. If you have a red letter edition Bible, you'll notice now verse 18 is the Lord speaking, or should I say reading. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and he gave it back to the attendant and he sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were glued on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." That's be the end of our reading for this morning. But let me say, if you read the rest of the story, you'll find it to be true, as it was in almost every case where the Lord Jesus went in the Gospels. He caused a problem. Yeah, a good problem for some, and for others not so good. Of course, they would wanted to reject him. But he's outside of the box. He's doing things that the religious leaders didn't like. Just his very presence as he would walk down the street was like a light in a dark place. And the Lord Jesus would often cause a commotion wherever he went. Not any different today. You can maybe get by with talking about your church, maybe. You might be able to get by if you talk about God, general God. But as soon as you mention Jesus, you really do have people, you know, as we'd say in Mississippi, they look down, they look around, they don't know where to spit or wind their watch. They don't know what to do. What do I do with Jesus? Like, Jesus, I don't talk about Jesus. That's a swear word to me. It's the only time I ever mention his name. And you try to talk about him in a gracious way, loving way, kind way, and they don't know what to do. Recently, a neighbor stopped by. Got to know all of our neighbors now. And as I was trying to communicate to him about the Lord Jesus, honestly, he was looking everywhere but at me. Down the road, is somebody coming? Down on the ground, or is there an anthill? Or up in the sky, is there a bird flying? They don't know what to do with Jesus. Neither did they know what to do with him that day. We know the story. Ultimately, they crucified him. But let's think for a moment about verse 18. You see, he said, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, I am the one who is fulfilling this that I've just spoken of. What had he just spoken of? Excuse me. He was giving us the credentials of the Messiah. When Messiah comes, there's going to be certain things that we will know about him, his credentials. We will notice these things. He will do these things. It will verify to us that he is the coming one, the Messiah. Now, in verse 18, he mentions five things in particular that he's going to do. Spirit of the Lord is upon him, has anointed him, has given him direction, has given him power, has given him authority, has given him the will of God to do. And he said, "I've come to do this." Just notice the five again. Preach the gospel to the poor. Don't you know that most of the people that listened to Jesus were the poor? The first people that heard the angelic message were poor shepherds. It just seems that by the time we collect some of the junk around us, the trinkets and the tinsels of this world, we don't much want to listen to Jesus anymore for some reason. But the poor in spirit, okay, of course, to them. So he's come to preach the gospel to the poor. Number two, sent me to heal the brokenhearted. We'll come back to that. Number three, proclaim liberty to the captives. Captive. Somebody comes over, bonks you on the head, drags you home. Captive. Immediately, that's what happened in the garden, captive. To sin, of course. long before Adam and Eve had children, they were captive to sin. Long before anything of the great doctrines of Scripture that we know about sin had already entered in. Liberty, freedom, deliverance. So I've come to do that. I've come to proclaim it, to preach it, to announce it, to share that with those who've been taken captive. That's a great subject. And then look at number four, recovery of sight to the blind. You know, over 50 times in the New Testament, blind people are referred to. It's one of the most times anything is referred to in the New Testament. Almost every page in the gospel, right? There's another blind man. Oh, no, there's two. No, here's another one. He was born blind. This one, I could see men like trees, and on it went. He's come to recover the sight of the blind. And then there's no one so blind as those who could not see, the religious leaders. But he's come to fix that if you would listen. If you say we see, Jesus said to them, your sin remains. Oh, you see, it would be foolish for the blind man to say, I'm not blind. Everybody knew he was blind. He was blind. He knew it. And he had to admit that he was blind, and he knew he was blind. Then he could get help. That's the point. And so sometimes we just need to say, I can't see it. It's okay. The master soul winner, the Lord Jesus, is witnessing to Nicodemus, one of the smartest Bible teachers in Israel. And he said, you got to be born again. He said, I'm not sure about that. You mean I got to go back to the hospital? Jesus said, no, you're not getting it. And when you witness to your neighbor, don't be disappointed. He can't get it either unless he knows the Lord. So it's a step of faith to recover the sight of the blind. Paul said, that's my mission, the Apostle Paul. I've come to preach Christ, that they might recover themselves from the darkness, see the light of the gospel of Christ, and be delivered from the power of darkness. And as was read earlier today, translated, transferred into the kingdom. Yeah, that's our mission to recover sight of the blind. Number five, set at liberty those who are oppressed. Excuse me. I'm going to take number two. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And I'm going to connect that with number five, set at liberty those who are oppressed. It's kind of interesting to me, and I'm not dogmatic about this, but it seems like he mentions five things, his credentials, at least here, what Luke's record. And then, in a sense, he mentions one twice. You see, to heal the brokenhearted and to proclaim and set at liberty those who are oppressed are in the same camp, in the same category. Now, let me ask you this question. Jesus said, you always have the poor with you. He's come to preach the gospel to the poor, and you always got the poor with you. I'm going to add to that. You always got the brokenhearted with you, too. You know anybody that's got a broken heart? This is a time you could go like this. It might even be you, see? Brokenhearted, overwhelmed by grief and disappointment, shattered, as he would go on to say, those who are oppressed, you might, in your Bible, it might be those who are bruised, those who are weighted down, kept in subjection, hardships, okay? How would you get a broken heart? How would you be overwhelmed by grief and crushed in spirit? How could that ever happen to someone? How about just life? Just life. Just got some disappointments, you know, just some disappointments. Things didn't turn out like I thought. Oh, it's probably my background. I didn't really have a chance. It was the family I grew up in. Others had a better start than I did. Yeah, life can have its twists and turns, and I say, I thought it would be different than this. I thought I would accomplish more. I thought I'd be more. I thought I'd marry the right lady or the right man, or I thought I'd get the right job. Things just have not turned out. And the things that I thought turned out went south. They broke. They failed. I'm done. I'm crushed. I'm disappointed. I'm in grief. Ring any neat bells? Just because life itself. Here's a big one. You ready for this one? How can I be brokenhearted? Why are we brokenhearted? This is a big one here. Listen to me. Rejection. You didn't have to be very old when you were rejected. You still remember that. I remember, just as a little boy, words, attitude. You never forget it when you're rejected. You know, sometimes as a kid you get over it, okay, but then the next thing you know, you're an adult, and maybe you're married, and maybe your partner's walked away. I don't want to spend the rest of my life with you. Rejected. You never forget it. It's just like you're not good enough. You don't measure up. I thought you'd be better. I thought, get out of my face. Rejected. Often think about that with the Lord. Man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You think he didn't have a broken heart? Of course he did. Right, here's another way you might be broken. Bad decisions. Oh my goodness. I should have. And I didn't. I did. And I should not have. Bad decisions. You see, you can choose your decisions, but you can't choose the consequences. They just kind of come along with it. And in some cases, you're overwhelmed by grief, disappointment, broken. And then just everyday things like reproaches, rebukes, shame, disgrace. You just say, I can't get over it. Let me tell you something. Sometimes if you go to visit somebody and they're sitting in a dark place, I mean, 40-watt light bulb in a big room with all the curtains pulled, that's not a good sign. Probably depressed. Probably broken. Probably, if I skip down to number 5, oppressed, bruised, pressed down, hardships, slaves. To what? To life, to family, to friends. Listen, there are some people, now, excuse me, I love animals, okay? Please don't write me off. I love animals of all kinds, okay? But do you know that some people are actually slaves to the animals? Like, well, we can't do that. We got a what? A monkey, an alligator. You know, dogs and cats are too common. It's just, you know, I've got a pet. I can't. I'm pressed down. I'm in subjection to an animal. I understand you love your animals. That's okay. But maybe you're oppressed. Maybe you're bruised. Maybe you're in subjection to something the Lord wouldn't have you to be in subjection to. I don't know what you might be in subjection to. Maybe it's what others think about you, your reputation. Satan himself, taken captive by him, oppressed, bruised. Mr. Vine takes that word bruised and he says, them that are bruised, that is broken by calamity. And he goes on to say, broken in pieces. So brokenness is a big part of the ministry of the Lord Jesus. I believe it's Mr. MacDonald in his commentary who says, Jesus has come to meet the problems of mankind. Of course, the big one is salvation, but in this, look, poverty, sorrow, bondage, suffering, and oppression. Christ is the answer. He's still the answer. He was always the answer. He will always be the answer. The critic says, what's the question? Well, folks, the bottom line is it really doesn't matter. Christ is the answer. He became poor and he preached to the poor. The one that was so high, so mighty, the lofty one became the lowly one. His heart was broken, a man of sorrows. He knew what it was. He can identify with us in all of our weaknesses, all of our infirmities. He knows right now what you're going through, and he knows how to get you out of it. He's come to preach to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, sight to the blind, and liberty for the oppressed. Amy Carmichael, some of you know this dear soul, a young Irish girl who went to India and died there after many, many years. She spent the last 19 of her years in bed. She had had an accident. She said, that bed became my office, my throne, my probably all the books you ever read about Amy Carmichael was written while she was in that bed, could not get out. She said, there are four broken things in the Bible, and they had to be broken before they could achieve their purpose. She just mentioned them. I thought they were kind of neat. She said, the broken pitchers. You remember Gideon? He whittled his army down from 32,000 to 300, and then he gave him a water pitcher, you know, and a sword. And he said, follow me. You know that story? When they surrounded the Midianite camp, and they got ready to attack from every side, he said, what I want you to do is, I want you to have the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. I want you to blow your trumpet. I want you to break your pitcher. And inside was a light. But the pitcher had to be broken before the light could shine out. Isn't it interesting? We're referred to as earthen vessels. Yeah. And Christ, the light himself, by the power of the Holy Spirit lives in us. You know, the only way that people are going to see you is for you to have some cracks. You got to let him come out. There was a young man many years ago that said to me, he said, Brother Joe, I got a glass of water here. He said, Brother Joe, he said, you know, if the glass is empty and you strike it, all you get is sound. If the glass is full of water and you strike it, water comes out. He said, I'm practicing filling my life with Jesus Christ. So when I'm struck, you got it? Christ comes out. Broken things. Mark records Simon's house. Simon the leper, a woman came in. She had some spikenard in a vessel, a flask, if you please. And the flask had to be broken for the aroma. But the Lord Jesus said, she's anointed me before time for my burial. But it had to be broken for the spikenard to come out. Broken bread. There's we got five loaves and two fishes and thousands of people. What will we do? Set them down. And Jesus broke the bread, and the hungry were fed. I mean, even a slant on the word, but we get it. She recorded the broken body, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 24. Jesus said, or Paul records, this is my body, which is broken for you, given for you, distributed for you, laid out for you. We know what the word means. When his body was broken, the world was redeemed. I added to the list King David in Psalm 51 after his confession of his sin and his cry out to the Lord for help. He said, a broken and a contrite spirit, O God, you will, broken heart and a contrite spirit, O God, you will not despise. Broken things are usable things. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, Psalm 34, 18. Jesus said, I come to heal. Heal, restore, set free the bruised, the broken, the ones that have given up. Even in a prophetic way, Isaiah records it about the Lord Jesus. Then he repeats it again in the New Testament, and he says, a bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax will he not quench. You're talking about a tender Messiah. You're talking about a compassionate Savior. You're talking about someone that knows right where you are. And he whispers in your ear, you can't run me off. I'm with you, says the Lord. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. You're going through the waters, I'm going with you. You're going through the fire, I'm going with you. You've been depressed, you've been bruised, you've been broken. I know what that means. I am a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Listen to me. I'm going to get you through. I'm going to heal you. And I'm going to set you free. There's no one who can do that but the Master himself. You know the truth will set you free. You know the Son will set you free indeed. He loved you. He came for you. He died for you. He was buried for you. He rose again for you. He ascended into heaven for you. And that same Jesus is coming back. That's why it's important for you to receive him now. Accept him personally now. Because those who receive him now, he's going to receive you when he comes back. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. Well, I don't know how you did with the list of New Year's resolutions. I think I stopped that quite a few years ago. I could never really do it. But you can start over today. God is the God of beginnings. He's with you. He loved you. He's got a plan for your life. You don't have to live like this the rest of your life. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. He has come for you. It is personal. He has a plan. He wants to lift you up. He wants to whisper in your ear, I am with you, says the Lord. Listen to him today. Let's pray. Father, it's our prayer and heart's desire that anyone who might be listening today, who does not know for sure that their sins are forgiven, who may be crushed or oppressed by the calamities of life, who have struggled and struggled and they just can't seem to get on top of, that it might turn to the Lord today, the one who came to heal the broken heart, the one who came to proclaim liberty to the oppressed, the bruised, the downcast, the depressed, the shy, those who have no hope. Lord, we commit that dear soul to you. By the power of your Spirit, move, we pray, and may they listen to the voice of God. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. We commit every Christian to you today who may have made some bad choices, but you are the God of beginnings, and you allow us to start over whenever we humbly come before you and admit that and cry out to the Lord, Lord, heal my broken heart. Lord, deliver me, I'm oppressed. And on the authority of the word of God, Father, we claim that victory in Christ today. In Jesus' name, amen.